let's all stand and show respect to the reading of the Word, verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to read all the text, but just a portion of it to get your mind where we need to be. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for all the folks that are here. We pray that you would have your will and your way. We pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, that I would preach the Word in such a fashion that is found pleasing unto you. We pray that you'd use the message, Father, to draw us near to you. We pray that you'd use the message to perhaps convict someone of their sin. We pray that you'd use this message to draw us closer to you where we need to be. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. If I have to pick a title to this, you can be seated. I'm going to entitle this message, Worship at the Watergate. Two times in the text, I believe it mentions that they were at the water gate, and that was certainly a gate that went into Jerusalem. Now, you want to know why they called it the water gate? Because they brought water in through that gate. It's real deep, is it not? So that's one reason why it was called the water gate. And what we want to notice here is that this is a great time of worship for the people of Israel. That's the reason why they're gathered here. It says they're gathered together as one man. Means it's all united in their purpose of worshiping the King. This is a great worship service that you see as an example here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. Now what we're going to do is we're going to bring out four details from it in this text. Four details about the Word of God. Because what you're going to notice in this text is that what was the priority, what was preeminent amongst this meeting here, this assembly of the people, was the Word of God. It was the focus of the entire assembly. It was the reason why they assembled there together. Now, you got to get kind of the time frame that we're in. The nation of Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. The Babylonians had came down and had carried them off into captivity. And they had been returned to their land after a 70-year captivity, as the prophecy in the book of Jeremiah said, the captivity would last 70 years, and then they would be sent back to the land. And, of course, the Bible also prophesied the name of the man that would send them back. Cyrus would send them back to the land, prophesied him 200 years, his name in Scripture 200 years before he's ever born. And he'd come up and he sent them back to the land. The Lord moved his heart, he sent them back. And in the book of Ezra, we've talked through the book of Ezra. We just got through. As a matter of fact, we just got finished with it. They rebuild the temple. And then in the book of Nehemiah, they're going to rebuild the wall. They're rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they've completed that great task. And now, I guess they're on a spiritual high. And they're gathering here for the purpose of worshiping their God. I'm going to give you four details about this worship service, and all of them have to do with the Word. You want me to go ahead and give you the outline in the beginning? Number one, I want you to notice the Word was desired. The Word was desired. Number two, the Word was respected. Number three, the Word was explained. And number four, the Word was effective. That's the four points we're going to look at. We get done in 15 minutes, we'll quit. Promise you that. So you want me to give it to you again? Let me give you the outline we're going to go by. The Word was desired. The Word was respected. The Word was explained. And the Word was effective. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that the Word was desired. And what I want you to notice is that the reason why these people gathered in this setting here was because they had a desire to hear the Word of God. I imagine this man of God, Ezra, was very excited about this particular assembly here. It says, all the people gathered themselves as one. That's what you want in a congregation of people. As a matter of fact, a church in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 is described as a body, and we work together as one unit. For the purpose of spreading the gospel, teaching God's people God's word, and administering the ordinances. That's the purpose of the church. That's what we're here for. We're not a show gathering. We're not just something, money-making organization. We need money, no doubt for that, to do certain things, but that's not what it's all about. It's about the work. And that's the reason why a church is referred to as a body, because it does the work, carries the message, teaches God's people. So they're gathered as one. And they're at the street, which was before the water gate. That's why we give the title, Worship at the Water Gate. It says, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe. Now let's look at just a little bit about him. Turn to the book of Ezra, chapter 7. He was a scribe, meaning that he was one of the men that would copy the scriptures. And by copying the scriptures, he would gain a great knowledge of the scriptures, and he had that. He was also a priest. He was a priest, and he was a scribe. He was a man that loved the scriptures. He loved the word of God. Now, I want you to notice about this man in Ezra 7 and verse 10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God. So the first thing he did, he prepared his heart to seek it. Then he prepared his heart to do it. And then to teach it. See the point? You see the order of that? To seek it, to do it, then to teach it. He never taught it till he did it. He never did it till he learned it. He learned it, he did it, and then he taught it. That was the order. He was certainly a qualified man to be called upon to bring the word of God to the assembly of the people. So they gathered themselves together as one man into the water gate. And they, now I want you to notice, and this would excite me. It says, they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book. Everybody say, bring the book. I think that's awesome. Bring the book. They wanted to hear the law. Now I tell you what, you got the whole book laying in your lap. You got Genesis through the book of Revelations. We got some very great texts of scripture. But the book that they brought was the Pentateuch. It was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books. God's Word. But a lot of that text, especially the book of Leviticus, and some of those texts ain't as flowery as we might like. Some of it we might even consider dry, but it's God's Word. And that's what they wanted brought. Bring the law to us. Bring to us the Word of God. In other words, the reason for this assembly and the priority of this assembly was what? It was the Word of God. That's why they assembled. I think it's very interesting is that you have in the text, the people are asking to hear the Word. Can you imagine how exciting that must have been for Ezra? Now, I don't think things should change off this particular priority when you assemble. We assemble here on Sunday mornings, and we assemble here on Sunday nights, and we assemble on Wednesday nights. And I think we should have a desire to listen to the Word of God, and I think that should be the priority of a church service. I think that should be the priority of a church service. The priority should be the ministry of the Scriptures. And you'll notice here that the people had a desire for that. They had a desire to hear the Scriptures. Now, we're living in a day and a time where you have assemblies, but there isn't no desire to hear the Scriptures. People will desire to hear a quartet, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Just hear me out. People desire will come and hear a quartet. Is that how you say quartet? They'll have a desire to come and hear a play or watch a show, but buddy, I tell you what, you can't get them to come to God's house for the sole purpose of hearing the Word of God. And because that's beginning to happen that way, what a lot of churches is beginning to cater to that, and they're pushing out the priority of an assembly such as in this text, which is the ministry of the Scriptures. They ask for it. Hear me out. I think that if you push out the Scriptures in a church, you quench the Spirit in a church. I think that's what quenching the Spirit is the pushing out of the Word of God. Let me give you three things that's associated with the Word. Number one, He saves through the Word. Do you agree with me on that? He saves through the Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, faith comes by hearing. We're saved by faith. We're saved by faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So, faith comes by the Word. If you want to see people saved, you know what you need to do? You need to open up the Word and preach it. And you know what else? If the Lord's going to save somebody, He's going to send somebody to bring them the Word. The Word is the means by which the Holy Spirit saves the sinner. All God's people said. That's what He uses. He saves through the Word. I'm going to tell you something else. He sanctifies through the Word. John 17:17, Jesus in His prayer says, sanctify them through Thy Word, through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Sanctification means to be set apart. It's a big subject. It's a message in and of itself. But sanctification is a process in which you're made more Christ-like in your conduct, more holy in your conduct. And He uses the Word to do that. As you get the Word of God, what it does, it should make you more holy in your conduct, in the way that you act. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to make you more and more Christ-like. Now, I want to give you an illustration of that. You take someone that stops getting the Word of God. If you're saved and you quit getting the Word of God or heeding the Word of God, then what happens after a period of time is you watch how worldly you'll become. And that's one of the things the devil tries to do after that you're saved. And we mentioned this many times. He'll try to do everything he can to unplug you, to unattach you from hearing and from reading and from obeying the Word of God. So you have this assembly and they desire the Word. That's why you came this morning, I pray. I pray that you came in here today, and this is the purpose why you showed up. I came here today, Jeff, to worship my King, and I came here today to hear the Word. So you could all come in and sit down and said, bring the book. Bring the book. We desire to hear it. Folks, the desire for the Word, if you listen to the radio broadcast and the keys to spiritual growth, verses 1 and 2 of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 is what the broadcast is going to be about. It says, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Desire it. You got to desire it. A desire for the Word is a sign of spiritual health. A lack of desire for the Word is a sign that you're sick and that there's something wrong, even in the natural realm. You know, I have a healthy appetite, and I'm eating. But sometimes when I get sick, sometimes you'll go to the doctor when you're sick, and they'll say, how's your appetite? And they look at your appetite, and if you don't have one, that means there's... Do you agree, even in the physical world, if you don't have an appetite, don't you agree there's something wrong? There's some type of sickness there? Something causing you not to have an appetite? We realize that. Same thing is true in the spiritual world, folks. I can remember not having an appetite at all for the Word of God. I can remember that. I can remember coming to this same church right here and sitting in a congregation as a young man and couldn't care less about what the preacher said. And the best thing about the service was when it was over. I can remember that. I can remember that well. And I can remember counting the ceiling tiles just so to see how much time would go by so they'd hurry up. But you know what also I can remember? I can remember being quickened by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit touching my heart, and I can remember having a desire for the Word. I didn't have to be made to come to church. My dad used to make me to come to church. I had the meanest dad on the planet. He made me come. There was no choice in it. Yeah, I said, well, Dad, other people don't make their kids go, Dad. If you have to go. And I'm glad he did make me go, but he did. But there came a day and a time when I wanted to go. I can remember that desire happening right here. We had a lot of good preachers back in the days that I didn't like to hear the Scriptures. It wasn't their fault. There wasn't nothing wrong with those preachers. There was something wrong with me. There was something wrong with my heart. And I tell you what, when the Lord changed my heart, that's the thing that I can remember more than anything else. I began to want to hear the Scriptures. And everybody else, even my pastor at that time, noticed the difference. He said, something different. I knew there was something different about you. You started listening. That's what he said. And I did. And then I began not only to enjoy coming and hearing the Scriptures, but I enjoyed reading the Scriptures at home. I enjoyed reading them at home. I enjoyed talking about them to other people. You see, Brother Raines, I had that desire there. That's what people need to have. And when you're right with God, that's a sign of spiritual health. These people here in Nehemiah chapter 8, they were healthy spiritually because they had a desire to hear the Word of God. And that's a sign of spiritual health. And I pray today that you have that. And I pray today that that's why you came. They brought the Word of God, and they desired to hear the Word of God. Let's look at verse 2 again. It says in verse 2 that Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all that could hear with understanding. That means they brought their children. Children that were old enough to understand it, and they brought their children too. You can envision this. It's probably thousands of people here at the Watergate, and here's their men. And here's, they brought their families for crying out loud. There's the men and their wives, and there's the family. There's the children there. They brought their children along to hear the Scriptures. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. Children can pick more of the Scriptures up than you give them credit for. They can pick more up than you ever give them credit for. Children need to be taught the Scriptures at God's house. They don't need to be entertained at God's house. They need to be taught the Scriptures at God's house. So they can pick up a lot of things from the Scriptures. Well, the same Holy Spirit that shows you the Scriptures can also show them the Scriptures. So they have their children in this congregation here. That's why, that's the purpose and the reason why that they were there. All right, you got the first point? They bring their children. Why would they bring their children? The Scriptures is able to make you wise unto salvation. They had the Pentateuch. They would have been told about the Creator. They'd have been told about the sacrifices. They'd have been told about how to live as to please God. Children need to hear that. Do you not agree? You can't take children to a better place than to bring them to the house of God where they can sit under the what? The Scriptures. You need to get them under the Word. Point number two. Done wasted our 15 minutes, so it looks like we're going to go longer than that. So we see that the word was desired. They had a desire for the Word. Now, before we move to this next point, I'm going to address everyone here today that's saved, everyone that's trusted Jesus. Do you have a desire for the Word? Do you desire it? Does deep down in here you want to hear it? You want to read it? You know, you want to obey it? Do you have a desire for the Word? You should see that in you. Now, if you don't have that desire, then that's a sign of what? It's a sign there's something wrong there. And you need to ask the Lord, Lord, I've lost my desire. It's not what it once was. Lord, rekindle that hunger that I should have for your Word. Okay? So, let's move on to point number two. The Word was requested. Now, I want you to notice that the Word was respected. These people had a very high regard for the Scriptures. And you say, well, Jeff, how do you know they had a high regard for it? Look at verse 3. He read therein before the street that was before the water gate. Now notice it says he read from morning unto midday. Think about it. Morning unto midday. That could be from 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock. A lot of the writers think it's 6 hours. This is a 6-hour meeting. When's the last time you've been in a 6-hour church meeting? I mean, these folks, I want you to see how much they respected the Word. They had such a reverence and respect for it that whenever Ezra brought the law to them, they were willing to stand there with their wife and their children. They were willing to do that for 6 hours. In other words, they stood there a long time. If it wasn't 6 hours, it was a long time. They were willing to stand there out of respect for the Word. And they requested that it be brought so that they could hear it. Can you imagine that? Man, it's hard to get people to come into padded pews and air-conditioned building and sit for 45 minutes to hear the Word. These people respected it so much, they stood and listened to it read for 6 hours. You know what? They were hungry. They had been so long without hearing the Scriptures. It was such a precious thing for them. Folks, you should hold it in just as high as a regard. You should consider it a privilege to be able to come and hear the Scriptures. You really should consider it a privilege to be able to come and hear the Scriptures. So that's one evidence that they had a respect for it, because not only did they ask for it, but they were willing to stand all the time and listen to it being read. And it wasn't, it wasn't what we would call real flashy preaching, but it was just the law. But it was all God's Word, and they respected it. And you see it in the text. Notice it, else what it says. Here's the second sign that they were respecting it. Look at the latter part of verse 3. It says, "And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." They listened to it attentively. A preacher can see that. Do you agree? You can see attentive listeners. I love attentive listeners. It helps the preacher preach. It helps the preacher preach. Now, I used to pull old pastors sometime when I was younger. I wonder when they look back here and seen me, and I'd be back here leaning over the pew. Mom has slapped me right upside the head every now and again. But I wonder what some of them thought. But folks, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will make you attentive to the Word. The Holy Spirit makes you attentive to the Word. That's how you show respect to it, is when you're attentive to it. You listen to what's being said. I love for people to smile when they're listening to the Word, if they feel like it, you know. I see, but when I'm preaching, I'm concentrating on what I'm saying. Sometimes I'll look at you and at the same time not see at the same time. You know what I mean? But I do appreciate those that have their Bible open, have a pen and paper with them, marking the outlines down, listening, and you can tell they're listening attentively. Shows respect to the Word of God. I think people should do that. I think folks should listen. And I'm talking to people that are saved. You can understand people who are lost not being attentive to the Word, but those people that are saved, that love the Lord, that's being cleansed by His blood, they should want to hear it. And when it's being preached, they should be attentive to what's being said. Because if what's being said is Scripture, then what's being said is the Word of God. See? So they respected it in that they were willing to stand so long under it, but also they respected it because they were attentive to what was being said. They listened to what was being said. They give it a good listen. Acts 17, in talking about the Bereans, it says they received the Word with all readiness of mind. So they would receive it with readiness, and then they would search it to see whether it's so. So the Word was respected, but I'm not done with this point of respecting. Notice how else I have you stand up sometimes whenever I read the Scriptures, but this is where that comes from. And Ezra opened the book. This would be a scroll. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They respected the Scriptures. So they respected it whenever they stood up, whenever they heard it. When they heard it being read, they stood up. Sometimes you'll see a court of law and the judge will walk in. And when the judge walk in, the courtroom stands up. Why do they do that, folks? Because they respect. It's a sign of respect. Sometimes when I do a funeral service and you hold the family out until it's time to start, and then the family comes in, then all the people stand up. You say, why do the people stand up? They're showing respect to the people that have experienced the loss. Folks, these people stood up because they had a respect for the Scriptures. And they had that. And that's what you see in this particular text. So these are two details in this worship service that is pretty good to see, is it not? Not only did they desire the Word, but number two, they respected the Word. Show respect to the Scriptures when they're read. Show respect to the Scriptures when they're preached. And that's what they did. All right, let's move on to our third point in this worship at the water gate. We've noticed two details. They desired the Word and they respected the Word. That should be true of everybody that's saved. Number three, they explained the Word. They explained the Scriptures. Do you think the Scriptures need explained? Sure do. You got to do more than scream Scriptures at people. You got to explain what the Scriptures mean so that folks can understand them. That's one of the reasons for a pastor teacher. That's one of the reasons for Sunday school teachers. That's one of the reasons for teachers in general, is so that you can explain the Scriptures. Dads, mothers should be able to explain the Scriptures. That's why they need to learn them. If you can't explain them, you got to learn them before you can explain them. So one of the things they do here is they explain them. They give the sense. Notice down in let's go ahead and go to verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God. It says he read distinctly. And they gave the sense. Now, giving the sense means to give the understanding of them. They not only read the Scripture, but then they explained the Scripture to those people that were present. Now, I don't know exactly how they done that. They got a bunch of Levites there that was up in the pulpit area with Ezra. I just imagine they broke up into groups and they explained it to the people in some fashion. But it was explained. They were taught from it. You got to explain the Scriptures. You got to give the sense. So it says they read in the book of the law distinctly and they gave the sense. That means they sought to give you the understanding of them. They sought to explain them, to understand the reading. Look back up the latter part of verse 7. It says they caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their places. Verse 12, latter part of verse 12, they understood the words that were declared unto them. So you see, folks, what I'm trying to say is they did more than just read the Scriptures. They explained what they meant. And they taught the people what they meant. That's expository type preaching right there. I think that's the best type, don't you? Read the Scriptures, then you explain what they mean. People need to be explained to what the Scriptures mean. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Let me give you an example of that. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian man. And he had a copy of the Scriptures, but he never had a guide to explain to him what they meant. Sometimes the Lord will put someone in your way so that they can explain the Scriptures. And here's an example of that. Acts, chapter 8, here's a man that was lost. He was a Jewish proselyte, I believe. He had been at Jerusalem, and he was there for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. That's the reason why that he went there. I believe that's Acts chapter... Chapter 8, verse 31. Right. Now, this is Philip. And Philip was an evangelist, meaning that he was basically a missionary who sought to bring the gospel message to other people. He had been in a revival service up in Samaria. That's where he had been. The Lord had saved a lot of people. So what the Lord does now is he sends him out to a desert. He sends him out to a desert, and as he goes out there, there's a man from Ethiopia. He's on a chariot. He has a copy of Isaiah chapter 53 in his hand, a prophecy of Scripture about Jesus. And he's reading the text. You know what? He don't understand it. He's got the Scriptures, but he don't understand it. You know what the Lord did? He sent him a guide. He sent him someone that could explain it to him. One man. That's how important that one person is to the Master. Let's read a little bit about that. Here in the book of Acts chapter 8. Notice what it says, verse 30. And Philip ran and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what you read?" And he said, "How can I except some man do what? Guide me." The guide explains it. That's why he sent Philip, therefore, was to explain it. And notice what he does. It says the place, verse 32 of Scripture, was read where he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, like a lamb was dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And the eunuch asked a question in verse 34. Who's he talking about? Who's the prophet talking about? Philip? And Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same text and preached unto him Jesus. He had a guide. He had someone that could take that Scripture and explain that to him. In a church service, I think the priority, as I said at the beginning, must be the Word of God. That's what the Word of God or the Holy Spirit uses, is the Word of God to save, to convict, and all of these things. But if you're going to use the Word of God, you not only read it, but at the same time it has to be what? Explained. Explained in the simplest manner as possible. And that's the only way I know how to explain it, in the simplest manner as you can, so that people can understand it. Now, do you depend upon yourself to be able to explain it? No. The Holy Spirit has to still yet illuminate the man. Let's stop off on our way back. We're almost, well, I ain't going to say almost done, but let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Here's the key. Watch this. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. Everybody see that? Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Everybody see it? You see, you have to have the illumination of the Holy Spirit before you can understand the Scriptures. You show folks, you teach folks, but then the illumination of the Holy Spirit also has to happen. One of the things that sometimes I have a tendency to do, I'll prepare. When I get done preparing, I'll prepare again. When I'm done preparing, I'll prepare again. And I'll think, no, this cannot help but be Saul. And then nobody will see it. Well, you can prepare all you want to, and you should. You should prepare prayerfully, but you and you deliver it, you got to depend upon the Holy Spirit to convince and to teach and to show. Amen. That's where that comes from. So the Word of God was explained by Ezra and the Levites there that day, but they also had the Holy Spirit there for illumination also. That's the same thing we got. Let's turn back now to our text, the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Now, folks, this is a very important text of Scripture. Not Ezra 8, Nehemiah 8. I just got through teaching the book of Ezra, and then I'm talking about Ezra, and I naturally go to him. Nehemiah chapter 8. What are we looking at? Worship at the water gate. They all assemble as one. Why do they assemble? Hear the Word. Hear the Scriptures. That's why they're there. They asked for them to be brought. So the Scriptures was requested. The Scriptures was respected. The Scriptures were explained. They were exposited. They explained what they meant. Folks, that's what you look for when you look for a church. That's what you look for. Not that they got a good basketball team or a movie night and a ping pong night. Is the Scriptures taught there? Is the Scriptures explained there? See, that's what you look for. All right, number four. This will be the last one. The Scriptures were effective. The Scriptures were effective. The Lord touched these people's hearts. I want you to notice what they do. There are really two things that shows the effect of the Scripture. In the latter part of verse 9, it says, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not." When the people heard the Scriptures, Joe, they began to weep. The congregation began to weep. Scriptures will do you that way at times. The Scriptures can be used to convict your heart. And when they do, it will sometimes move you to tears. Sometimes you'll be moved to tears in the congregation. Sometimes I've been moved to tears right on my study, sitting in my study preparing. Sometimes I've been moved to tears thinking about the Scripture. But these people were moved to tears as they listened to God's Word. You know why that was? Number one, because they was convicted over their sin. Their sin convicted them. And when the Scriptures convicts you, sometimes it moves you to mourn. And that's what happens in this text. Don't know exactly what part of it touched them. But as they heard them, they recognized that they in the past had transgressed them. And it moved them to mourn over them. And that's the reason why they wept. The Scriptures was effective. It accomplished this in them. It moved them to weep over what they heard. Now, they didn't want them to weep this day. This was a day of rejoicing. You look down at verse 10. It says, "Then said they unto him, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them, for nothing is prepared, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord, neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When the Scriptures make you mourn, you're not to stay in mourning. When the Scriptures make you mourn, you're not to stay in mourning. The devil will come in over your sin and drive you right down in the ground if you're not careful and make you quit. You're not to stay in mourning. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart. You repent of your sin. You wipe yourself off and you get up and you keep serving the Lord. That's what He wants you to do. So you have the joy of the Lord being your strength. The joy of forgiveness. Isn't it a joyous thing to know the Lord to forgive you? And the Lord not only gives you in justification, He not only forgives you judicial forgiveness in forgiving you of all your sin, meeting all the demands of the law, but He gives you parental forgiveness as your father. So it was effective. The word is effective. It caused him to mourn. It caused them to mourn. And then they rejoiced in the joy of forgiveness. But also it was effective. If you look down in verses 13 down through the rest of the text, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, and the priests and the Levites, and to Ezra the scribe, to understand the words of the law, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, and the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. So they obey the Scriptures. See how effective? Not only did the Scriptures make them mourn, but they found in the Scriptures where they should observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And when they seen that that's what the Scriptures said, that's exactly what they did. They started setting up booths. They had that weekly or that festival that lasted a week. They celebrated that. You know why they did it? Because the Scriptures said so. The Scriptures was effective. James 1 says, it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer of the word is blessed. You see all of that here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. Do y'all think this is quite a worship service here? Do you think it's quite a worship service? I think it is. Let's recap here real fast. Almost done. At the worship at the water gate, you see that the word was desired. Number two, you see that the word was respected. You see that the word was explained. And then number four, you see that the word was effective. This is a good service right here. That's why I structure the services here the way that they are. I think that the priority in a church service must always be God's word. And I think you should come because you have a desire to hear them. And then after you hear them, I think you should have a desire to obey them. Ezekiel 33, last text, and I'll shut down with this. I think Ezekiel is probably I've read this text to you many times. Here's another gathering of people in Ezekiel 33. I think Ezekiel was probably a pretty good speaker. I think probably people like to hear him talk because they were talking about him. It says in Ezekiel 33 here, watch this now. Verse 30. Thou son of God, the children of thy people still are talking against thee or about thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. Speak one to another, every man, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth of the Lord. Doesn't that sound good, verse 30? Here you have Mike, here you have people coming, they saying, he says, Ezekiel, they're talking about you. They're saying, come down and listen to Ezekiel. Come and hear the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that excite you? Boy, it'd excite me if I would be the speaker here in this text. Here's what the Lord reveals to him. They come unto you as my people comes. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but what else does it say? They will not do it. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. So here you have another group, and they're gathering for the same reason. They're gathering to worship and they're hearing, but the word's not effective as far as bringing about repentance in their hearts. They're still doing the same things that they did before. Their heart is still going after gain and covetousness. Not effective. Folks, the Word of God never returns void. You never waste your time. I've left this pulpit times before and drove home and thought, boy, that was a horrible message today, Lord. I thought I did a horrible job presenting it. And my comfort is, I know it's not void. You can take what was said and you can use it, and I pray that you do so. That was worship at the water gate. We showed you the four details of that day. All of our services should be structured around the Scriptures. That's what the Holy Spirit uses. Let's all stand.